Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing. This is Sybil Brunson. I am your hostess and your guide here on Come Now, Don't Sulk, our live podcast every Monday night. Not always every Monday night, but many Monday nights, I should say. And we are part of the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're a very proud member of the Here Be Monsters Studio, which produces our show. And we have not only the head of the Here Be Monsters Studio with us, but she's also our own muse and my own co-hostess, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, happy, happy, happy New Year. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Chipper in the new year. Finally think I'm shaking off the bronchitis.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we're all doing our post-holiday colds right now or sniffles, preferably not COVID or Omicron if we've been vaccinated properly.
Oh, gosh. Gosh.
Yes, we'll get into that in a second. Folks, for those of you that are new listeners, this is a weekly broadcast on the Internet. It's called Come Now, Don't Sulk. And, of course, I'm Sybil Brunson. This is Gwendolyn Holdenberry. And our sponsor every week is DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. And this is a wonderful, wonderful company producing wonderful fragrances and perfumes and just all sorts of products now. Gwendolyn is the founder and the head chemist there, and she has generously offered to produce our show every week. I want to remind you before we get into some technicalities that our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Please feel free to call in and chat with us tonight. Our show is live here, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we are podcasting right now around the world. We have listeners in Australia, in South America, in Europe. We have them all over the world. And it is very exciting to be able to talk with people all over the world. So don't be a stranger. Feel free to call in at 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, do you have a fragrance that will welcome in this 2022?
I have a delightful surprise because I'm very proud of it. I have a brand new three-piece little, you know, rockets here that I would like to share with folks. I've been working on these since my trip to Alaska, and they're wonderful. The first one is called Witchwoods. It's a spray or an oil, and it's a forest bath of scent. It's blended with balsam fir and black currant absolute and cinnamon leaf, spruce, porcino mushroom, ambrette, and a cedarwood absolute. And its first companion is one I got myself, a bunch of dry sweet William flowers, and I macerated them to come up with this delightful scent. It's just brief and very, very light, but it took me to like the mountainside. So I created a new blend called Sweet William, which is the Sweet William oil with some carrot seed, which is sweet Anne, you know, sweet marjoram, and yarrow or milfoil, yarrow flower. And it's light and it's like walking up a mountain. It's really, really nice. I'm very proud of it. And the last one is called Sea Witch. And this is, of course, it's an ocean bath. And it's blended with seaweed absolute and lemongrass and lime and some green mandarin, but the real wonderful part about it is the osmanthus flower in it. And it's just delightful, and it's the sea, but it's invigorating, but it's also calming and soothing with that floral on top. So those three, my brand new blends for the new year 2022, you know, dancing backwards in high heels across the stage. I have these three blends, and they're really just beautiful. Witchwoods, Sweet William, and Sea Witch.
So people, when they go to the website tonight, which again is daughtersofisis.com, they'll find those right there, able to buy them.
They will. I even have a little on the homepage that it's under the mists and sprays, but on the homepage, I have a little introductory astral oil special, and they can get them in the oils in a package deal for a very nice price. So, yeah, they can find.
This is just like QVC. So this is just like QVC or HSN. So that's what they should. They go there and they will find them right there. It's a wonderful little package that they can do.
Yeah. And if they go
that's great.
The essential oil sprays and mists, they'll find the 4-ounce mists, which they're just lovely. They really are. I mean, I don't usually toot my own horn, but this time I am.
Well, I love that you've done this for the new year, though. I love that you've done this, which is like a way of really welcoming in this new year, because there's a lot of trepidation right now. There's a lot of anxiety, you know, as opposed to it being a new year of hope and, you know, positivity and optimism. There's so much trepidation. There's so much fear. And I love that you're doing this, you know, this wonderful package that people can have.
You know what I was also thinking of? I mean, this is a culmination of my subconscious that has gathered through the COVID experience. So let's talk 19, 20, and 21, 3 years of this. And I think that these blends were in my subconscious. It got breaking out again into the world and traveling a little bit and coming home and realizing how important it can be because I think we're going to get an uptick in lockdown time, how important it can be just to smell a forest. To smell walking in, you know, the clean mountain air with just a faint scent.
Excellent.
Of,
yeah.
You know, and or to go to the ocean and stand at the shore. And
excellent.
So these,
I agree with you completely.
It was what I had in mind when I put these together. And I'm really very proud of them. They do smell good. And I'm sending some your way because I think you'll need them too.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's just lovely. Folks, be sure tonight while you're listening to the show to click on your laptop, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Our show is brought to you by that. Gwendolyn, what's going on? Are you working? What is all that? What's all that clicking and everything? Are you mixing up a batch right now?
You got me. No, actually, I was tearing a piece of paper off that says John, or it says send mummy.
Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying. We're very happy that daughtersofisis.com and Gwendolyn support this show. And we also are supported by listeners just like you. Thank you. I want to remind you, our phone number is 323-784-9639. 323-784-9639. You know, Gwendolyn and I are often, there have been times when we've done the show and it's been very political, and there are times when we do the show and it is completely escapist. And tonight we were both wondering, what should we do? Should we address the stuff that is the stuff? You know, who would have thought a year ago that COVID would be, well, as maybe not as lethal, as it was last winter, a year ago today, but certainly much more contagious. So hospitals are choking again. We are in a much graver situation because an entire year and a half of emergency has exhausted and depleted our medical professional world. People have either died or given up. And why shouldn't they, with the stupidity of the vaccination stance of half this country? You know, you have doctors and nurses saying, well, what the hell should I keep risking my life for people who don't bother to get vaccinated? I think the latest statistic today was that 97% of the people being rushed to the hospital now with COVID or infected in any way are, well, not infected in any way, but certainly in crisis mode, are people that were never vaccinated. And they are single-handedly endangering everyone else because we did not get to herd immunity. We did not stamp out the virus, so the virus kept mutating and evolving into more versions of itself, including Omicron. So now we have this highly contagious version, which, although it may not be as readily fatal, it certainly is risky for compromised people, HIV-positive people, elderly people, people with cancer, people who are on chemotherapy. It's endangering them, not the non-vax crowd, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Governor DeSantis, not that they care, but for those of us that do care about people like that, the elderly, it's risky that there are people who are still walking around without masks. I, as many of you know, do not live in New York City now. I'm outside of Philadelphia. I go into some stores and some people are masked and some people are not. And some people are not only not masked, but they are perfectly comfortable coming right up to you and standing right near you. There's no safe distancing or anything. Gwendolyn, what is going on?
I know it sounds like we're at a cocktail hour. I'm sorry.
No, it actually sounds like we're in a garage and we're repairing Mummy's muffler, which needs to repair. What are you? Where is your microphone? I thought your mic.
It's on my headset, but it's awfully.
Are you? It is. So,
sensitive.
Are you driving a nail into your forehead? back to what I was saying. Anyway, so we're sort of trying to figure out where we go tonight. I think that one thing I would love to address, certainly with Gwendolyn, is the post-holiday blues thing, because that is something that – let's wipe out the COVID aspect of it. Let's wipe out the impending election thing about it. Let's wipe out the fact that there are people who were at January 6th assaulting police officers who are getting fined $500 and 2 weeks of changing cat litters in a petting zoo. I mean, it's just the frustration level is everywhere. But what are things that we can do to banish those post-holiday blues that come from New Year's Day straight on through to March 1st? Now, I'm going to before we go into it, I'm just going to do a caveat here. Our show goes all over the world, but our show goes all over the country. And interestingly, Gwendolyn and I live in Pennsylvania where it's 17 degrees and it's going to go down to zero. Gwendolyn is living in Port St. Lucie, Florida, where there are palm trees swaying with orchids growing in the trees and, you know, flamingos wandering through people's front yards. So our part of the country, our tourist part of the country, like Cape Cod and Fire Island, is a ghost town. It's a brittle, freezing cold, dark ghost town. Gwendolyn's part of the country as a tourist spot, is their complaint is there are too many people coming. Floridians are actually like, unless they're in the service industry and need to make money in restaurants and, you know, hotels, they're like, oh, dear God, now we're going to be hit between the eyes by thousands of tourists for the next 2 months, whatever. So our perceptions of post-holiday are very different. I would personally love to be in Hawaii or Florida enjoying 83-degree weather with fountains going and orchids. And I would not be cursing that this time of year. But it is rough. So I want to know if Gwendolyn even has post-holiday blues, A. And if she does, what does she do? Gwendolyn, the podium is yours.
Well, my post-holiday blues is that I'm not traveling.
But that has nothing to do with the weather. That has to do with COVID, right? You've clarified that for people.
I took a little trip, but it was very short. I would like to actually go up and see some snow again, but not for long, you know, just for a little trip. But when you can't, and certainly I would choose a small town. And even that's ridiculous. It's everywhere. The smartest thing I think to do right now with this uptick in the Omicron is to be home and to definitely stay out of the restaurants and bars.
I agree.
You know, lots of people are under the impression that going to the restaurant and bar, as long as it's outside, or it's just too many people. And in my thinking, because I feel like I should take care. doesn't mean that I stay away from everything, but the best thing you can do, though, is you can take yourself away. You can spend your time at home. You know, if you're with family, getting to know your family again, but that can be a wreck. One of the best things you can do is entertain yourself, find a hobby. A lot of people have gotten very crafty through all of this.
I agree.
You can, if you're in climate where you can garden. And even if you're not, you can start a little herb garden at your kitchen window. There's a lot of things that you can do that is not just brooding. You know, it's not just brooding fear.
I agree.
Paint by numbers.
If you're terrible with plants, get a paint by number thing of trees or something, which is a very 1956 approach to life. I want to agree with Gwendolyn on two things and reassert it. We really thought 4 months ago, 6 months ago, that COVID was lifting and that we were going to be able to go to restaurants and eat outdoors. And we could, you know, restaurants were doing safe distancing. They were cutting their occupancy rates by 2/3. So you had tables that were 12 feet apart and in these open air tents. I mean, New York City, well, indeed all urban areas, but especially New York City, is covered with outdoor tent, heated tent, dining options, which took up parking spaces, which is, to me, is fabulous. I think that if COVID permanently wipes out the use of cars, the overuse of cars in New York City, that's just fine with me. People don't need to be driving in all the time. 8 million cars. We don't need it, and we don't need parking for them, and we should make life miserable for them. So outdoor restaurants, you know, is a wonderful idea. However, we've discovered in the last 3 months that because of Omicron and because of non-vaxxing and really because of non-vaxxing, the people who have non-vaxxed, and Anthony Fauci finally grew a dick and said so, that they present the largest challenge and threat to the country and are the biggest security risk as far as public health goes, that this non-vaxxing that went on for an entire year has compromised so much. So Gwendolyn is right. I don't think George and I do not go and sit in outdoor restaurants. And we were 6 months ago, 4 months ago. We were going to outdoor restaurants. We were not going indoors, but we were going outdoors and we were sitting in the heated tents, you know, and we might take off our jackets, but put our scarf around our neck. And we were having a wonderful time eating fabulous food in restaurants. Those days are over. And the reason they're over, and again, I'm saying thank you to Gwendolyn, is that amount of care is no longer enough. That we have friends left and right who have contracted COVID or have at least tested positive, and they've been careful left and right. Masking and safe distancing and everything. It's not possible. And of course, as I said also, we are surrounded by people who are still not masking and not observing safe distancing because there's this whole attitude that, well, if I get it, then that's my vaccine. If I get Omicron, then I'll be herd immunity because that'll have been the vaccine that I never got around to getting at the public health area.
But that's not true.
I know. This kind of thinking should be ended with a blow to the head with a shovel. It's like, you know, it's like, it's not true. You should get a vaccine. There's not a public health worker or a person on TV who is not saying that. They are all saying, get vaccinated, please get vaccinated. And we're even still offering people $25 gift certificates to Starbucks or whatever to get vaccinated. We're paying people to do what they should do as a citizen, as a member of the community. It's inexcusable. This country has sunk to a new level. But anyway, back to what Gwendolyn said, it's not enough to be careful. It's not enough to wear a mask. It's not enough to do those things and hope that you're not going to get compromised because it's all gotten out of hand. The second thing Gwendolyn said, which was wonderful, and I have it in my notes, is this is a time to figure out how to be good company for yourself. Some people are good company for themselves. They don't need to be married. They don't need to be the member of the country club. They're people that can go for walks. They're people that spend rainy days in museums. They're people that do things at home. They're people that are comfortable gardening for 8 hours. Getting a hobby, doing something with your hands and your heart and your mind right now, I cannot recommend enough. I have always been someone like that. As a child, I would often be banished to my sandbox and create an entire world there for myself because I was lonely. And I learned how to be lonely creatively. And what was funny was that the more creative I was in my sandbox, the more kids would come around and join me in my stories and my constructions and everything that I would do there. So I'm urging you to do a couple of things. If you're in a warm place and you can garden, take up gardening. Go to a place that will allow you to garden, teach you about gardening, like a nursery, and get easy plants. If you are not able to garden, what was that?
Nothing came from this end.
Oh, I thought I heard something. Okay. The one thing I wanted to say was if you can't garden outdoors, garden indoors. And I know that many of you contact me all the time. Oh, mommy, I have a black thumb. Oh, I kill everything. Listen, I've got two solutions. One is go to a store and pick up a plant like a Christmas cactus. Get something that is very, very, very easy. Like a Christmas cactus. They are so easy. Go online, check out how they work, what they need, what they don't need. They are very easy. If you're going to get a Christmas cactus or some plant like that, make sure you take it out of the aluminum foil plastic pot. Those aluminum foil things that people do to their poinsettias and everything are fatal. The water gets in there and gets contaminated and poisons the plant. If, and this is really important, if you are absolutely sure that you're going to kill a plant, and no one, don't do that because it's bad for you. It'll just depress you and make you feel rotten. It'll wreck up your karma. The French had an old saying, a poor Frenchman will take what little money he has, he'll spend half of it on bread and half of it on flowers for the table. I can't recommend enough going and getting just a little bunch of flowers and putting them on your desk or putting them on your table or sitting in front of them when you're eating dinner. Have flowers. Have something that's alive in your house.
Yeah.
If you can't grow a philodendron, and by the way, those philodendrons that get long and leggy and everything, they are indestructible. All you have to do is put them in a glass of water. You know, and when they get longer than 12 inches, cut off the end and let them branch. But if you really can't even keep a philodendron alive, always put flowers in front of you. An herb garden is pure genius, but I know so many people that say they killed their herb garden. So, but have something that's alive in your house that you can look at and enjoy. Obviously, a cat or a dog is wonderful. A pet is wonderful. But if you aren't able to do that and be successful at that and take good care of a being like that and nurture it, take a plant. If you can't nurture a being like a plant, and they are beings, they're trying their best too, just like we are, then put flowers in your house. Always have some cut flowers somewhere that are wonderful, and change it up. Do different ones every week. Put them in your bedroom and on your living room table. Have flowers around you. It'll be almost like you're gardening. It will be almost like a hobby, but I'm telling you, it will change your life and your outlook. There is nothing worse than being in a cold place like I am and not having life around, inside and out. Okay? So that hobby thing is great. And I want to say one more thing about hobbies. If you don't have a hobby, try getting one. If you feel like plants, that you kill hobbies. I've had people write me or call me and say, oh, mommy, I've done 25 different hobbies. I kill them within 2 weeks. I collected stamps and ended up setting fire to my stamp album. I collected coins and ended up spending it all on the laundry and the washing machines. Each hobby they took up, they reneged on. So if you're going to do a hobby and you're afraid of doing a hobby because you will fail at it, I have a very big suggestion, and I've had friends do this. Find out, and do it safely, find out if there is a place near where you live where people do pottery, or find a place near where you live where people blow glass, or find out if there's an art school where people are learning how to paint and draw. If there is, and again, we have to be very careful with safe distancing and masking and all of it, but it's not quite like eating in a restaurant on top of table 13 next to you. If you can find a place that's teaching people how to paint or draw, or a glass blowing studio, which is always open air and the air is moving constantly, or a pottery studio, call them up and ask them if you are allowed to go and just audit. If you're afraid of trying to do a hobby and you're afraid of spending money and you're afraid of having a pottery teacher be right next to you teaching you how to work on a pottery wheel, go watch people do things. Go watch people make things. It is so restorative. I used to go in Greenwich Village and watch this painter named John Sterling, who specialized in Greenwich Village paintings. And when I would find out that he was going to be on the corner of Bank and Waverly, I would go and I would watch him for 2 hours, watching him paint. It's so restorative. It's so wonderful. And if you can't do it yourself, to watch people make things calms you. It renews your own spirit. And it also, interestingly, eases you into feeling like you can try that. A really good potter or glassblower or painter or whatever will actually probably encourage you and tell you how they started and how they wanted to do stuff. And apropos of that, if you can't do any of those, do what I did. I was in a really dark place in my life 35 years ago, and I taught myself needlepoint, and I do needlepoint. Talk about a hobby you can do in front of the TV set, watching Turner Classic Movies and making things, you know, yourself, and get a kit, get like a beginner's kit if you don't want to do your own designs. But get your hands busy. Get your mind and heart busy. Be busy. The devil makes work for idle hands. And you know, it's a bad place to be if you're in a cold place in January and February. Are you hobbying right now, Gwendolyn?
I'm having a little refreshment. I'm sorry about the IQ.
Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Whoa.
Please try and keep yourselves busy and try and find a hobby or watching a hobby that gives you that kind of that you feel transported by. I hear that we have a phone call in. Is that correct?
We do.
Okay.
Well, hello, folks. I'm glad I was busy plotting world domination with my three grandchildren, but we've got it all covered, so I'm calling in now.
That's great. Welcome.
Speaking of keeping your hands busy. Yeah, I was going to say, keeping the speaking your hands busy. You know, I've spoken about my over-the-top, insane grandmother. I can remember her with the crocheting needles. Sit there, watching TV, like you said, just sitting there crocheting in a rhythmic pattern. It's like muscle memory fingers, right, without really having to think about it. And she, one time she made this beautiful, full-length, queen-size bedspread crocheted for my mother. And she was all the time doing stuff like that.
And the clacking of those, my grandmother did knitting needles. And then as her arthritis got worse and worse, she finally was hooking rugs because she couldn't really move the needles coordinatedly anymore. Folks at home, I just want to introduce you, Wayne, because people who tuned in don't know. We have callers every time we do the show, and one of our regular callers is Wayne Johnson, who's on tonight, and he's coming to us from Maryland. So you've got the whole Eastern Seaboard here, basically, on our panel tonight. I'm glad to hear that you were able to make time for your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you about post-holiday blues. What do you do about it?
As you know, I am a professional musician, so I keep myself in practice. So, I may have a song that comes into my head, and I keep one of the guitars, one of my quality Paul Reed Smith guitars, on a $150 guitar stand, really high-end, right next to my bed. And I may sit up in the middle of the night, a song will pop in my head or, a riff like, I bet that's how he's doing it. I'll get up, pull up that guitar, and run through that riff. So, yes, like you said, I'm keeping my hands busy, whether it was your grandmother or you needle pointing, your grandmother knitting, or my grandmother crocheting, I play guitar.
Fabulous. See, that's wonderful. So you've got... Yeah, that's fabulous. People that are musical and can play the piano or the guitar or musical in any way, that already is like 90% of the journey, as keeping oneself occupied and expressing oneself. I've got to interrupt one. I'm sorry, what, Gwendolyn?
I'm not a bit musical, but I've played the guitar for years and years, but I don't have very good calluses, so I play for 25 minutes, maybe.
I could put out a match and not feel it, okay?
Yeah,
wow.
That's practice.
I was going to say, we were talking about the musical aspect. I know Glenn knows, and you may know, but because there was no engineering work at my home on the Delmarva Peninsula, right, Podunk, Key Hall, and Delaware and stuff. For a while there, for 6 years, I had to work out in Columbus to make a living, sending the money home to my wife and daughter who's still in high school. And so I'm out there by myself. And what I did to occupy my time, feed my soul, things like that was, and this is a blessing, Columbus is a very, very big blues, roadhouse blues kind of a town. And there were so many venues of jams and music venues to play at. One, as a matter of fact, was an acoustical jam at a coffee house where we sat down and kind of sight-read music and just, sang, harmonized. It was all acoustic, though, playing our guitars and stuff. And so that's how I felt. I was at least three times a week, I was somewhere instead of sitting in that apartment, watching who's the – bachelorette going to pick. I was out playing music. by the way, that show's called what? Pimpin' the Hose? I really rediscovered my muse of playing music again there. And as a matter of fact, go ahead. What's that, Gwen?
But that's getting back to Mommy's point, that's something people can find to do at home. They can pick up a guitar or ukulele and believe me, ukuleles can be played so that they're really wonderful sounding and
absolutely.
Or pick up a panpipe or a didgeridoo, what have you, and you can
the neighbors complain about the didgeridoo I had. Yes, but
the point is doing it all at home and amusing yourself or amusing your family or make it a family project. You know, that's what came out of this. Mommy, did you see it was mostly on Twitter or Instagram. There were families that learned to play music together and sing. There were several of them. And I thought that was exceptional, just exceptional.
It was. It really was. Yeah. It was a way of not driving yourself crazy with your family. It's like there were families that are now, being – if they're smart, being thrust together, not quite as mobile and out the door as they used to be because of the COVID situation, and people multi-generational, grandparents, parents, and children, and children of all ages, five-year-olds and 15-year-olds are being forced, if they're being safe, to be a little more around the house. It's old-fashioned. It's like being together 60 years ago when people had TV dinners and watched Ozzie and Harriet. And so people are trying to figure out how to reconnect. And it's funny because with every catastrophe, it's easy to find the bad news. But sometimes there's interesting good news that comes. With even the worst situations, somehow the universe provides good things. And one of the good things that's happening is that some families are figuring out how to be productive and creative and loving and reflect on themselves as opposed to being, obsessed with getting to soccer practice, being in the bands, being out there, going to the bridge club. It's like, no, those options have dwindled. And now we have to figure out how to be, what we are. So I was more articulate. I didn't say that well.
You did.
You brought it up very well.
But here's the other thing, too. I don't know if anybody's been talking about it, but I've certainly seen it in my, family that's spread out and everything. In fact, you and yours moved to the suburbs out of the big city. And this is true all over. Those who could afford it and had the mind to, and there were plenty, people moved to small towns, bought nice homes in small towns that people, barely anyone around, out in the country, the small towns in upstate New York, you can't buy anything it's gone crazy. Real estate is just weird. And it's mostly all these wonderful, little towns that were fading back away and homes that are available with, lots of acreage out in the country and up in the mountains. And I know people who...
You're absolutely right. And especially with the work, the way that work is going to change and has changed, where so much work is being discovered that can be done remotely, that doesn't have to be done in a sad little cubicle in an 80-story high-rise skyscraper in midtown, urban America. It's people are saying, wait a minute, why would I keep living under those circumstances and be there and do all of that? Why not live in a suburb in my own little house with a little yard that I have? And then 90% of my work can be done, as a Zoom call, as a remote, as, on the internet. And then, God forbid I have to come in once a week. Okay, once a week. But why would I live under the psychopath neighbor, in my studio apartment for $3,500 a month? We were in a situation where we were living in the city, and my God, we had a psychopath upstairs, who would stomp around and, be up until 2 or 3 in the morning and was a lunatic. And it's like, then you have police, you have the sirens downstairs, you have the car alarm that won't turn off. You have, the person yowling at the moon in the middle of the day. I mean, it's just like, why would you live like that anymore for $3,500 a month for 600 square feet when you find that, oh, for heaven's sakes, I love these people that still hold on to. They say, we have, yes, but you have theater, you have the ballet, you have the opera. Who has that? Who can spend $300 on a pair of tickets for a Broadway show? Not me.
Right.
Not me. Right. Who does a $500 night at the theater and at Sardi's? I live for Sardi's restaurant, live for it. I adore Sean, and I love the whole staff there. Can I afford to go for a Broadway ticket, $300 for tickets, and now it's more if the show's open, and then spend another hundred and some odd dollars on dinner at Sardi's and cabs or Ubers and blah, 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 blah. Who can afford it? Not me.
Right.
I'm thrilled to be in the suburbs now, and I look at people like you two who live in suburban environment situations, mm-hmm. and I'm amazed that you don't point and laugh at me. Point and ha, ha, ha. What a loser you were, lady, for all those years.
No, no.
You're a dreamer.
The truth is, I'm listening to you and remembering the last meal I had at Sardi's and thinking, oh, my God, I'd love a theater trip to New York.
Yes, yes.
Same here.
You know what? Gwendolyn, both of you, the operative mm-hmm. word in that sentence was remembering.
Oh,
Giuliani murdered New York starting in the late 80s, 90s. The rents, the landlords, all of the things that you treasured about New York, all of those things vanished block by block by block. And it was all done in the name of gentrification and cleaning, quote unquote, cleaning up the city. All of that magic vanished. When I moved to New York, an adult moving to New York wouldn't have dreamt of living with roommates in New York City. You were out of college. You were being an adult now. Now you could have your own apartment. I used to go to Broadway plays, buy a ticket to a Broadway play, and go out for burgers and a cocktail with my friends. And we did mm-hmm. that all the time. A ticket to a Broadway play, if it was standing room, was $25.
Right.
It was $25. Yeah. Was that a lot of money? Yes, it was. But you know what? A subway token was a quarter.
That's
a quarter.
Affordable.
No, it was 50 cents when I got there.
You must have been horrified.
I can remember that. I actually found an old New York subway token when I was moving this last time in a box.
There you go.
And Wayne, do you know what it was? It was a stone.
It's in my medicine
but
bag.
But it was polished.
It's in my medicine bag, boys.
Oh, that's so great. I was going to say, every time the ship would pull into New York, I would serve an extra duty, right, and trade with someone, because you're only in there for like 3 days. But I made sure I had 3 days to do New York every time we pulled in there.
Yeah.
My normal thing was I would eat at Mama Leone's.
Oh, God, I loved Mama Leone's. It was a little bit Coney Island, but it was still wonderful.
Oh, Well, it was duck with orange sauce.
It was a tourist place, but it was still fun.
Well, you walked in, it was like decorated Christmas with all the green and red, banners and stuff in there.
Yes,
but then I would
yes.
always find a ticket and go see a Broadway play. Well, as I said, I think you and I talked about this. I have always loved the theater and stuff ever since I was in high school, building the really true actors, in the school to be performing on.
Well, Wayne, let's be honest. You were straight. Really, a person like you has no business on stage. Straight people are wonderful in the theater as long as they keep to the backstage area and allow the actresses like myself. And I used to do an opening night speech to the boys and girls backstage and say, now we're all part of the same family. But remember, when you've been hammering things, your hands are soiled. So please never get close to Mummy when she's about to go on stage. All right. Goodbye, everybody. There are cookies and coffee back by the back door. Go on now. There you go.
You're nailing it. That's exactly the way it went down.
my mom introduced me to, what a great town New York was. She took me in to buy clothes for school and to Elizabeth Arden. And the last time it was revamp of Camelot, and it was Sir Richard Burton. Boy, did I cry when he hit the last line.
Oh my God, what a tearjerker. That and Man of La Mancha. Oh my God, was there a dry eye in the house? Man of La Mancha, people died at the end of that play. They were so grief stricken.
Ritz, which was really great. It was really campy. It was about a hotel, and this guy was hiding out from the mob, so he went to this blatantly gay hotel, right?
He went to a bathhouse, Wayne. Yes, it was a gay bathhouse. And what was funny, Wayne, was that it was modeled on the Continental Baths, which is the bathhouse that was in the Ansonia where I lived. So the Continental Baths was the famous gathering. And Rita Moreno was the model for the drag character. And it's funny because Rita Moreno is, we know Rita Moreno in our household.
Right.
And she was the model for Googie Gomez in that play. So that's, and I've been in a production of The Ritz, not in the one you saw, but I was in a revival of it. But yeah, go on. So you, that was your first Broadway play?
Now let me ask you this. Was it Bette Midler that was in the bathhouse that you just mentioned? Remember, Bette Midler got her start at the bathhouse.
What I should have said was Bette Midler was the model for that. And yes, and George was with Bette Midler at the Kennedy Center Honors a month ago. He was with Bette Midler. But
was
she was
great.
The model for it. And then Rita Moreno played that character in the movie The Ritz. It wasn't that Rita was the model for it. She was the actress that played the character. Yeah,
there
but that's
go.
Yes, Bette Midler. And by the way, Bette Midler's pianist at that time. Do you know who that was? That's
right. Yes, I do. It was
They were two kooky Jewish unknown, like struggling actors who were trying to figure out where to get some work, and they both were in the bathhouse. And their stories, the wonderful stories, are that the restaurant where they performed in the bathhouse was where you had all these boys in towels and nothing else sitting beside Park Avenue socialites who had shown up in limousines to make the scene. So you know, the naughtiness was that the boys in the towels were supposed to be very modest and to not be, you know, flash anybody. But it was very funny because you had these colliding worlds of, you know, gay bathhouse 1969, 1971.
Yeah.
Meeting Fifth Avenue and Central Park West. It was hysterical. And by the way, that neighborhood where the Ansonia was at that time was a bad neighborhood. So it was bad, but it was wonderful. There were antique shops and cafes and everything, but it was not glamorous the way, you know, Giuliani wanted it. But what was interesting was that you had these limos pull up, and these people in fabulous clothes would look both ways and then dash into the front door, you know, past the doorman would see them and let them come right in and usher them to the restaurant area. They wouldn't go to the front desk. They would go to the other area, which was where the cabaret and the restaurant was. What a world. What a magical, silly world. And what's funny is you were seeing that play. You saw the play that was based on that. Terrence McNally, I knew him, and he wrote that play because he thought it was such an interesting place to put a comedy of manners, like a mistaken identity comedy there. It was fabulous.
Yeah, certainly.
I remember one coming out of the door. I remember one coming out of the door, one of the actors, you know, he was on like the second or third level. Paige Joe Namath.
Exactly. And the mistaken identity thing, the fact that someone would have snuck in there to escape the mafia, not realizing what he was going into. And it just is very cute premise.
Oh my God. Paging Joe Namath. You know, I actually dated him once when I was weaving. No kidding. No, when I was 17.
You dated Joe Namath?
I went out on a date with him in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. right.
That is so funny,
lady.
You know, he was a little more advanced than I was, and he understood that one right away. And he was nothing but a gentleman. And I saw him quite a bit because I used to help my best friend park cars at the other mother, which was a night spot. We were 17. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I met a lot of actors that way. But he was a gentleman. He really was. He was a nice guy. I liked Joe.
Well, very good. That's a great story, Glenn.
That is a great story.
About, you know, Glenn and you and Professor. We have a plethora of really great stories that we've accumulated over the years, and it's fantastic. I mean, I decided a long time ago I was going to live my life the way that others could only read about.
That's cute. That's good.
Yes.
That should go on a gravestone. Yeah. That would make a great inscription on a gravestone.
It would.
I lived my life. I carve it on a gravestone. I lived my life the way other people only dream about. That is
there
a great thing.
It
that
is.
Would be wonderful.
Yeah. That's Philip Berry stuff.
I don't intend to have a gravestone, but I do think that I will ask people at my funeral if they'll take my ashes and simply on a driveway just put them out in that message, you know, for preferably on a non-windy, rainy day. It'll last for like an hour, but still to spell that out with my ashes would be lovely.
I love it. I want
to address one quick thing because we're running. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, the funny thing is that back in the day when Barry Manilow was popular, I was listening to, you know, metal rock and roll and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And he was easy listening, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
And
he and the Carpenters. The Carpenters.
Yeah, I liked Carpenters.
And the Bee Gees,
Yeah, I liked their songs. But, you know, you didn't listen to that. No, Cosby, Stills, Deep Purple. But I find now when I watched an old movie the other day that really delighted me called Foul Play with Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase. And it was a Barry Manilow, you know, tunes that, and I really enjoyed hearing it. It was a great song. And he was a storyteller, you know. They all are.
Yes, that was when songs had lyrics, and they weren't just the same sentence being repeated over and over and over and over again and screamed.
Right.
And yeah, songs actually had a beginning, middle, and end, and they told a story. It's true. Listen, I want to just interject here because I just want to ask a quick question. I did get a message from someone about this, and they said we should address this, and we can do it next week too. Christmas decorations. Do we banish the of course January 6th was Epiphany, and that means something to, you know, Catholics and Episcopalians, not so much to the Baptist crowd, and certainly not to anybody else. But, you know, it used to mean something very important, and most of Europe celebrates January 6th even more than they celebrate Christmas Day. It's the day that the three wise men come to the stable and acknowledge that Jesus is supposedly the Messiah, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people don't realize that's the 12th day of Christmas is January
6th.
That's
right. That was the 12th.
So it's 12 days, and that's Epiphany. Right. So anyway, apropos of that, a lot of people take their decorations down on January 6th. Many people are so in despair over a dark, freezing winter that they leave their decorations up. Gwendolyn, I don't I have
they're
no patience
up.
With a woman who's got palm trees and orchids, but what do you do about your Christmas tree? I mean, what do you do?
It was the other side of the house was listening to all the news, and it's funny, January 6th has become another infamous day in American history. So
yes, that's
It's been kind of awful, I guess, with the news line. So all the little Santas are still out. The little Christmas tree's still up. Mm-hmm. The lights are on out front. We're the only
So when are you going to leave it up till?
until my sister takes it down. She's the one who does all the decorating, and she's the last word. And she says, don't touch it. And I don't touch it.
So do we have an estimated time of departure in ETD?
probably I would say Wednesday of this week is the first day she'll be home all day. So
okay, Wayne, we're running out of time, but what do you plan?
We were used to there on the farm. Carol would put up three Christmas trees, one in the base of the stairs and the stair, you know, the circular stairs, or the, and then one in the actually family room, which was where it was. And then one out in the conservatory, which was just, you know, decorated out there when we were entertaining and stuff. And usually with Carol, everything stayed up until maybe about mid-February when she decided it's time to take it down.
Right.
God's honest truth, right? We were Christmas until mid-February.
Well, that's sort of what my family was in many ways. And here in Pennsylvania, I mean, the court that I live on, the circular court with the 12 different houses, one by one, they've been taking their lights down day by day by day. There's one house besides mine that still has their lights up. I have my lights up, and then we have our tree up. Our problem is that George, of course, appears on QVC, and since we're doing remotes and Zooming still from houses as opposed to in the studios, our Christmas tree is in the background and beautiful and highly praised, and the fireplace and everything. We just are wondering how soon before customers say, you know, George, when are you going to take your Christmas tree? But it's very pretty, and we're very proud of it. And our Christmas, you know, all of the decoration that we do is beautiful. It just, I must tell you that I am someone who gets very sad in January and February with nothing to look forward to except a birthday, which is at this great age. When you get to be 123, you really don't look forward to any more birthdays. You just don't. Betty White and I discussed it last week, right before she went. She said, I can't really embrace turning 100. I'm finishing myself off tonight.
Do you know, I think that the woman was just this witty. I think she said, fuck you, New Year's Eve. I'm going to upstage you.
There you go. And bravo for Betty White.
I think that she, a bright light has gone further up, you know. She isn't gone. She isn't gone. But, you know, it's like I have a big thing for Carrie Fisher, and she's not gone either. She's just higher up. But, I think she really did. That's the first thing that came to my mind was she upstaged New Year's Eve, said, fuck you, 21.
I always think it's interesting when people either die on New Year's Eve or on their birthdays, when they say, now I'm going to leave on my birthday, you know, and some famous people have died on their birthdays. I believe Ingrid Bergman died on her birthday.
Yes, she did.
And it's sort of like, this was it. This wonderful, thanks for the cake. But I'm done now. I'm leaving. I'm moving on to something else. Listen, we're running out of time. I want to just briefly do some housekeeping, as we say on QVC. You've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, our live podcast every Monday night. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studios on Blog Talk Radio Network. You can find us here every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Our sponsor tonight and every week is DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we've also been brought to you by you, our listeners at home. Thank you. I want to thank our wonderful, wonderful panelists who called in. We didn't get any of our other panelists. You know, I missed some of them. But Wayne Johnson, thank you for calling in and being available.
My pleasure. I look forward to Mondays just being with you and Gwen. This is fantastic.
Well, thank you. And we look forward to having you join us every week. So we'll look forward to you next Monday.
Absolutely.
And Gwendolyn, thank you for being our producer, as you are every week.
You're welcome.
Gwendolyn.
You're welcome. Gwen is a gem.
Gwendolyn, I've been private messaged all night long on my Facebook. People saying, can I just ask you, is the broadcast being interfered with? Are we having technical? No, Gwendolyn is building a treehouse in the backyard. That's what all of that was tonight. Gwendolyn, your headset picks up everything.
I'll I'll go back to the little area phones.
It was so funny. I have messages all across the bottom of my Facebook page. Mummy, what's happening? Is my laptop misbehaving or what? I was like, no. Gwendolyn is, you know, is chewing a horse or something. we will be here next week again, Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, God willing. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy
good night.
New Year.
Good night, all, and take care.